Wonderful There. That'll be our song selection this morning. 780. Let us sing. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Amen. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer at this time, please. And dear kind, merciful Father, we are so just thankful for this opportunity we have this morning. We're thankful to be able to have the ability to sing songs of praise to your high and holy name, Father. Father, we're just so thankful for the sunshine that you've brought our way this last week and this morning, Father. We're so thankful, Father. We're reminded of your love every day of our lives as we wake up and take our first breath in the morning and realize that we're alive and we're on this side of life. Father, we're so thankful. We're thankful for all of those that have been traveling, Father, that they have returned and that they're healthy and well, and we're able to greet them. Father, we're thankful for all of the answered prayers in the month of February and even in this month that you've answered so far. Father, we're so appreciative. Father, we know that you know what's best for us in our lives, Father, and we ask you for wisdom to know what to ask for and how to move about in our lives, Father, best to be able to serve you. Father, we're thankful for those that serve your people, Father. We ask that you be with those leaders of the churches, Father, that you would bless them and bless their families, that you give them wisdom to manage not only the church but also their homes and the things that they need so that they, too, can also continue to grow strong, Father. Father, we're mindful of those that are not here this morning that are dealing with illnesses. Father, we pray that you would be with them, that you give them patience and that you give them focus, that they might continue to lean on you, Father. And if there is something that we can do, Father, make it known to us as we reach out to them and see how that we can help them, Father. Father, we ask that you be with our congregation as we continue to reach out to the world, Father. Pray that you give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know the things to say, know the things to do, to be able to spread your word in our community here and throughout the world. Father, we ask that you would give us opportunities this week, Father, that we might share the gospel with some people, Father. Pray that we might be able to help others, Father, and that this morning as we study your word, that we might be enriched by your word, Father, and that we might be strengthened, that we might be bold enough to go out and spread your word. Father, all these things we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, who died for us all, and amen. So, let's see. So this morning, we are continuing our study of relationships and responsibilities. Last week, we were able to go through how to view our family. We were looking at how we deal with our earthly family, but as being disciples of Christ, Christ is the one that is our very focus. He's the one that we give our love and devotion to, and we follow because we are his children. The other thought that we were reviewing last week was how to view the government, that we should respect the government because God has established it. And so we should be, as Christians, following the government. And then the other that we were viewing was how to view brethren in Christ. We were paying attention to how we are to respect one another, to love one another, and to encourage one another. And this morning we want to finish this section of thought about relationships and responsibilities. We want to look at how to view enemies and those who misuse us. And that is a very interesting thought. Because when you think of somebody that's an enemy, what usually comes to your mind? Yes? Okay, all right. Anyone else? When you think of somebody that's your enemy, what do you think? What comes to your mind just as an individual, just as a human being? When I come to you and say I'm your enemy, what response would you have? You're defensive. You want to defend yourself. Fear comes up instead of love. But we know Jesus taught us differently or teaches differently about our enemies. How do we as children of God deal with our enemies? It's always interesting to think about this. The Christian's attitude towards others is to be different from the attitude of the world. A Christian is not to hate or misuse or take advantage of others. Rather, a Christian is to view our enemies and act toward them as God acts towards them. Is that always an easy task to do, to love your enemies as Jesus teaches in Scripture? What causes us to react in a defensive way towards our enemies? What is it in us? Survival. Wendy? So fear is what's driving us, survival, because we don't know the minds of other people. We just say, okay, that's an enemy. So like, say, for instance, who's scared of snakes in here? Anybody scared of snakes? So the snake's an enemy. So you see a snake, what do? You scream. Some people run. What if a tiger came through this door here? Friend or foe? There's doors back. Oh, there's two doors back. You guys are going to leave me in here by myself? Because he's coming. He's coming to me first. Or maybe Victor and Kim. I don't know. I think coming right to me. But I've got this podium and I have this. You'd be surprised how I can move things. Vern? Yes. It really is. It really is. Yes? Denise? You need to defend yourself, Denise. You need to defend yourself. That's a logical question. That's a good question. Yes. Yes. Yep. Sometimes you got to run. Yeah. Sometimes that's necessary. But what did Jesus say about dealing with our enemies? What did you say? That's true. That's true. Yep, you got to take care, defend yourself. Yep. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 43 through 48. What did Jesus say about dealing with our enemies or how we should view them and those that may misuse us? Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 43 through 48. Listen to the words of Jesus as he's talking to the people in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard," Matthew 5, 43, "you have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's a challenge, isn't it? Maybe that should be a goal of ours. Because it's challenging for us as humans because of the ideal of fear, because of survivability. Because we don't know everything. We don't know if a person, how dangerous they are. If they're going to take our lives, they're going to destroy our families. We don't know because we don't know the mind of other individuals. We can only see their actions and hear their words. So we do our best to try to do what is right. But Jesus says to love them. He says to love them. And this word, I think, for love is the word agape. And when you think about the word agape, what comes to mind? What did you say? Agape? It's love. It's looking out for the best interests of another. But we're talking about the word agape love, the Greek word. So the Greek word for agape, meaning that we're looking out for the best interest of somebody else. That's the word we're talking about. So that's what we're talking about, looking out for the best interest of another. So if you're dealing with your enemy, how would that look? What behaviors would you do to show agape towards your enemies? You pray for them because that's what Jesus says there. You pray for them. Are you praying that they leave you alone? Are you praying that God deals with them? That's usually what I do is I pray for others. I pray for others. And the reason behind praying for my enemies is because the Bible says that we were once enemies of God. And what does God do for us? He shows that agape love. He sent his son to die for us. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Wendy? Yes. Oh, okay. Anyone else in dealing with agape love, and what behaviors should you take in dealing with your enemies as far as showing agape love? Would it not be concern for your enemy? And so you would pray for your enemy. But Denise had asked a very, very important question. What do you do when they try to put their hands on you? You got to defend yourself. Yes, Vern? Yes. 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 Yeah. So you treat your enemies the best that you can. You do your best. But having hatred towards them creates a whole nother type of thought process, other actions. But when we show love to those that are undermining us, there may be somebody at your job that may have been a person that's just an underminder, someone that's trying to get you fired or get you in trouble, what have you. What do you do in those instances? How could you show love in that instance in dealing with someone like that? Yes. 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 Exactly. So it's going to the aid of. Usually when someone is being mistreated towards me, I like to ask them a question, what's going on? I like to just talk to them and see how can I help? Because to me, the behavior of someone being my enemy is odd. It shouldn't be. Because as Christians, we're looking to show the love of God. As Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 5, we are to be like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father brings the sunshine upon everybody. But there also, with our Heavenly Father, there is also a time of recompense as well. Is that correct? But here specifically, Jesus is talking about us doing what God is doing, bringing the sunshine and the rain on everybody. He's not delineating or keeping that from them. Because when we're talking about God's love, we're talking about the one that created even the people that are evil, even our enemies. Christ died for our enemies, just like he died for us as well. And so it is challenging to love our enemies. It is challenging because we have our human minds thinking. We have assumptions that are going on in our minds, because we don't know the heart of the individual that's up against us. But at least we see what Jesus has taught us is that we should strive to be like our Heavenly Father. Because that's why he was teaching this, because it's challenging to the human being. It's just like one of the texts that I like to utilize for husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. That's a great challenge, isn't it? I mean, that's a high goal. It is. I love my wife, but I'm trying to get to where Christ is in loving my wife. Amen? And so this could be something that we're reaching towards in loving our enemies, because we've got to recognize and be honest that it is challenging, correct? It's not easy, because we don't know their minds. But if we see them coming towards, if the tiger was coming through the side door, some people were saying they'd go right out those doors. And Victor, I've got to deal with the tiger by myself. But, you know, I'm a lot faster. I'll be out that door before you guys get over there. So, yeah, I've got joy in my feet. So I'll be out the door and close the door so the tiger will be in here. No, I'll help you guys. Yep, I'll help you guys. Hopefully I don't have flight. I'll be ready to fight. But that's just something to think about. Yes, somebody had something in the back. Rick? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's one we'll have to deal with another time. But yeah. Yep. Well, you had joy in your feet that day with a little help of gravity. So we'll call it joy in your feet. So that flight. So I think all of us have been there one time where we ran faster than we knew we could run just to get away from something. And but loving our enemy definitely is a challenge. And we must be honest and acknowledge that. And that's why Jesus was telling the people that you need to learn to become more like God. It's a goal. It's the standard. It even said uses the word perfect like our Heavenly Father. And that word probably perfect doesn't mean like you're perfect, but the design in. You're trying to get there. It's the standard. So we're not there. That's why he's saying this is the standard. And this is where you should be headed. Rick? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the one thing that Jesus says in Matthew is that you would pray for them. You would pray for them, definitely. But that doesn't mean you need to stay there. You might have to leave. Because it doesn't say you have to like them. No, that's not what agape love isn't that. It's looking out for their best interests. And praying for them is something that is very important to do, for your enemies, and pray for yourself. Also, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. We should start at verse 17. Romans 12, 17, 18, and 19, if you will. Romans. Yeah, Romans 12. Verses 17, 18, and 19. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here in Romans 12, 17, Paul here says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then Vern, you had mentioned, I think it's verse 20 there. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And then verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is it's challenging. It's a challenge. It's something that we have to reach toward. Because every time you're dealing with the enemy, you may not be able to show them the appropriate love. It's just not always possible. But I like what Paul says in verse 18 of Romans 12. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes people are just overwhelmingly cantankerous, or whatever you want to, this description you want to call say of them. It's challenging. And so we've got to do our best to show them love. But sometimes it's really challenging, and we have to be honest with that. Any comments or questions about relationships and responsibilities? Yes? Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was a very powerful, overwhelming example of showing love. Vern? Yes. 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 Yep. It's your training. If you train to hate, you're going to hate. If you train to love, you're going to love. So it's all about training. If you're feeding your mind that this is the way you're supposed to act when somebody does something against you, if you're training to hate, you're going to hate. But if you're training to love, and that's what Jesus is trying to get the people of his day to see, is you got to train to love like your heavenly Father. Because when your enemy comes up against you, it's not the time to train to love. It's not. You've got to be ready and prepared. So when that comes, you're ready to love your enemy. Vern? Yes, you can't put a fire out with gasoline. That is so true. I like the example that you gave about Botham Jean's. Is that the way you say his name? Botham Jean's younger brother. During the trial for the officer that killed his brother, he asked to give her a hug and to forgive her. And I remember the reaction. I used that illustration one time in dealing with forgiveness, and everyone had all of this to say, and it was all about hate. Oh, she should have did this, she should have did that, and it's just like, he should have done that, and it's just like, this young man was trying and doing his best to show love to someone that had killed his brother. You don't see that. You don't always see that, but Vern had mentioned that there were some shows he's watched where you see that. The training of humans is that when someone does something to you, you need to get them back. But Jesus is saying you need to love like my Father loves. And so it's training yourself. You've got to prepare for these things. It's not something you do on the spot, because most of the time you're going to have gasoline and put on the fire. Because you've only prepared to hate. But if you prepare to love, meaning that you start thinking about these situations before you get into it. Because these situations are going to happen, or they may have already happened. And maybe you're dealing with an enemy now. And you've got people telling you, oh, you shouldn't show love to them. You should hate them, and you should do this, this, that, and the other. But Jesus is saying you need to love. Love your enemy. But I also encourage you that you've got to train for it. Because when you're in the situation, it's not time to train. It's not the time to train. Preparation is important. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. So you got to be prepared. I've been in all types of trainings. And when you are in that situation where people are against you, you kind of go tunnel vision. And if you haven't trained properly, you're going to see exactly where you are, whether you're going to have the hate response or you're going to have that love response. Just like when we look back at 2020, when everything went haywire, you saw all the weaknesses in our system. It comes out. So when the pressure's on, you begin to see who you really are and everybody else around you. So if you train to love your enemies before you get enemies, then most likely you'll be ready to do what Jesus is suggesting here, is to love your enemies like your Heavenly Father. You may not get to that standard, but most likely if you're training and practicing for it and praying for your enemies and praying for wisdom in dealing with people and have that mindset of love as opposed to a mindset of love of hate and fear. Because fear, you basically, hate and fear, all of that gives you tunnel vision. You can't really think clearly. But love just opens up your mind, and you're able to do so much more. There's power in love. The Bible says perfect love does what? It casts out fear. Because when you have that love, your behavior is different. Your reactions are different. Just like when your children or you're interacting with your children and you show love to them and concern, you have a different response from your children. But when you come across your children with fear, you bring about fear in them as well. So love is one of the most powerful things in the universe. And the Bible says, who is love? God is love. And when we show love to people, we get a different reaction. If people are assuming that we are disrespectful or something, and then we come across to them with love and concern, because sometimes I remember a good example, I'll share an example with you. When I went to work down in Dublin years ago, I was thinking 2000, I started working at ITS Medical, and I was still working out. I was pretty buff back then. And I remember this older guy named Floyd. I mentioned Floyd last week. This is the guy that helped me memorize my walk passages in Ephesians. When he first saw me, he told me after, he said, Saul, when I first saw you, I thought you were, a mean guy or a guy that would be a bully. He said other things, but I don't want to share those. But that was his first perception of me. But then he said he saw me smile, and then he saw how I was interacting with people, and he was like, we hired a good guy. And I was just like, wow, I didn't know I was eliciting these negative thoughts in people's minds. I had no idea. But once he saw what type of person I was, he was so relieved. He's like, man, this guy is nice. He had no problem helping me memorize scripture, even though he didn't go to church and didn't really care about church. He still was able to help me memorize those walk passages in Ephesians. So it's important that we show love to people. Amen. It's so important. It's such a valuable thing for us as Christians when we show love, because in all actuality, we benefit so much when we have love. If you have hate and animosity in your heart, it not only affects you, it affects your family, the people you work with, the people you go to church with. But when you have love, it is just amazing. And sometimes you can't help the way you look. I can't help the way I look. This is just how it is, you know. But my behavior, I have control over. And so when people understand and see love being exhibited, how I interact with them, how you interact with them, and you have love and concern, then they're just like, a release, relief. That is beautiful, isn't it? Even how you interact with those that would be your enemy. I'll share another one with you since I'm sharing examples and illustrations. And I shared this with the church years and years ago when it happened. But at that same job, a guy kicked me. And the way I responded, I was able to bring, I think, 12 people to church that Sunday. Because they were like, wow, you didn't like crush that guy? And I was like, no, I wanted to know what was his problem. Why are you kicking me? That's the first thing I said. Say, Howard, why did you kick me? And he began to give all these explanations, and he got scared. I was like, there's no need to be scared. I just want to know what's wrong. Are you okay? And people that were there, they were really shocked at how I responded to Howard, because I didn't look at him necessarily as a threat or as an enemy. I was more concerned about what was causing him to pick his foot up and kick me. I didn't understand it. I was like, we don't play like that. So what's going on? You know, I need to take you out to lunch. Do we, you know, what's going on? So our responses as Christians, we are always needing to prepare ourselves for the challenge. We need to prepare ourselves to love. Because when you're in the midst of challenge, it's not the time to say, I'm all of a sudden going to love. You have to prepare ahead of time to love. Wendy? Yes. 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 That's why I try to always inquire what's going on first. And he didn't continue to kick me, so that was also a good thing. If he would have continued to try to kick me, I would have had to stop him. But I didn't see the first kick. So, to me, I always believe that you should defend yourself and take care of yourself, even in the midst of being challenged. But you still can show love. You still can show love and concern for that individual. So any other comments or questions about love and how we deal with these situations? Yes, Heidi? Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. Yeah, it's challenging when you have continued harassment like that. It's challenging to love in that instance because that's dealing with the place, your environment where you live. That takes a big toll on us. Still trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that is definitely a challenge. Maybe we should visit your neighbors. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. All right. We have about 5 more minutes. I have some questions for you. Questions. So we were previously looking at the week before last. We're looking at Matthew 10:37. Who, according to Matthew 10:37, is the Christian to love more, Jesus or family? Jesus. And why is that? Why do we love Jesus more than family? Or why does Jesus say we should? And how does that fit in? What's the perspective of Jesus and our family? What did you say? He's the head of our family. He's also God. He's also our provider. He's our Savior. He's the author of our salvation. He can demand that of us to love him more than family. Yes? Oh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Exactly. So you're going to love Jesus. And when we love Jesus, when we love God, it has an effect on our family, does it not? It's a positive effect. It should be a positive effect. If we love God, we love Jesus, then it's going to have a positive effect on our family. Pat? Yes. Yes. Exactly. So loving God is the first priority. And then the rest of our priorities should be lined up. Because if you're loving God, that means you're going to love your family appropriately. You're going to show them respect. You're going to treat your spouse right. You're going to treat your children right. It's going to affect the way you do business in the street. When you're out at the bank or wherever you are, when you come to church, you're going to treat your brothers and sisters in Christ right. You're going to treat the visitors right. It just does well for us to have the priorities correct with loving God first and then loving those on the earth, the people that we see when we're walking down the street, the people we interact at home. I just love saying that. But the people that we meet when we're walking down the street, the people we interact with, the people that we go to work with, if we have that love and respect for God, then we're going to have the love and respect for his creation. And those that Christ died for. Number two, what does 1 Timothy 5:8 say is a Christian's responsibility towards the family? 1 Timothy 5:8, which says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." What do you say? Infidel. Yep. So what is our responsibility to family? Provide for them. Yep. Take care of your business. Yep. Yeah, when we take care of our business, then everybody else can take care of their business, and we're good. So it's important that we take care of our families. Take care of ourselves and our families. It's an important part of being Christians. Any comments or questions? We got about a minute left. We'll stop with that particular question, and Lord's willing, pick up next week at this juncture. Any questions? All right. Very good. Thank you for your time this morning. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.